From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he continues a message bearing the title, Godly Fear and Godly Dread. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Mark chapter 9 and verse 19. Bring him unto me. Despairingly, the poor disappointed father turned away from the disciples to their master. His son was in the worst possible condition, and all means had failed. But the miserable child was soon delivered from the evil one, when the parent in faith obeyed the Lord Jesus' word, Bring him unto me. Children are a precious gift from God, but much anxiety comes with them. They may be a great joy or a great bitterness to their parents. They may be filled with the Spirit of God or possessed with the spirit of evil. In all cases, the Word of God gives us one receipt for the curing of all their ills. Bring him unto me. Oh, for more agonizing prayer on their behalf while they are yet babes. Sin is there. Let our prayers begin to attack it. Our cries for our offspring should precede those cries which betoken their actual advent into a world of sin. In the days of their youth we shall see sad tokens of that dumb and deaf spirit which will neither pray aright nor hear the voice of God in the soul. But Jesus still commands, Bring them unto me. When they are grown up, they may wallow in sin and foam with enmity against God. Then, when our hearts are breaking, we should remember the great physician's words, Bring them unto me. Never must we cease to pray until they cease to breathe. No case is hopeless while Jesus lives. The Lord sometimes suffers His people to be driven into a corner, that they may experimentally know how necessary He is to them. Ungodly children, when they show us our own powerlessness against the depravity of their hearts, drive us to flee to the strong for strength, and this is a great blessing to us. Whatever our morning's need may be, let it, like a strong current, bear us to the ocean of divine love. Jesus can soon remove our sorrow. He delights to comfort us. Let us hasten to Him while He waits to meet us.
Cares for you. He cares for you. He ever loves and cares for you. He'll do what no one else can do for Jesus cares for you. He
Are you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. This message, Godly Fear and Godly Dread, Dr. Cairns takes his text from Joshua chapter 4, verse 24, and chapter 5, verse 1. The first verse speaks of the godly fear inspired in the children of Israel as they witnessed God's power in holding back the waters of the Jordan so that they could enter Canaan on dry ground. In the second verse, we see the dread and terror in the hearts of the heathen Canaanites as they heard of the victories of Israel and the awesome power of the God of heaven and earth. It is these two types of fear upon which Dr. Cairns is focusing in the course of this message. Those who know Christ as their personal Savior are struck with a godly fear as they consider the great transaction that took place on Calvary, when the Son of God was made sin, so that guilty sinners might be made the righteousness of God in Him. This is the kind of fear that causes the people of God to worship the Lord as they stand in awe of His matchless grace. Now to continue this message, Godly Fear and Godly Dread, here is Dr. Cairns.
What a great transaction took place at Calvary. This was no cheap salvation. This was the salvation that bankrupted the treasury of heaven. This was the salvation that demanded that God would give everything that He could give, and He didn't balk at giving it. God gave His own Son. No gold or silver, gems or stones could purchase our redemption. God could create those endlessly with a word of His lips. No angel from heaven could purchase our salvation. Again, God could create angels with simply a command of His mouth. But God sent His own Son because that was the only way to save guilty sinners. What a transaction then took place on Calvary's center cross. And as you see that, as you stand beneath the cross, tremble with godly fear in all the biblical meaning of that term. I thought when I was considering this, here's the answer to a cold heart. So many Christians lament that their heart fights a battle with coldness. You get into the world, you get busy in the things of the world, even though you're not seeking to get into all the sins of the world. Yet, the things of the world distract you, they take your attention. They lock you into their grip, as it were. You can't get them out of your mind. You carry your business with you wherever you go. You carry your financial concerns with you wherever you go. All these are things that are constantly in your heart, so that when you come to read the Bible, it's with a dull spirit. It's with a deadened mind. You come to public worship and it's with a cold heart. You kneel to pray and you feel a million miles away from God. What do you do about a cold heart? Here's the best answer. It is to spend time, and let me underscore that there is the necessity of spending time. Trouble with us, we're far too much in a hurry for God. You never find God in a hurry. God can do things instantaneously. God can meet you as He met Nehemiah, for instance, in an instant. But God is never in a hurry. He chooses the right moment, the best moment. But He says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Spend time considering Calvary. Spend time thinking. We are so action-oriented nowadays that we think that it's a waste of time to think. Unless you're doing something, running hither and thither, you're wasting time. Let me tell you, the time that is spent exercising your mind on the great subject of Christ and His redemption is not wasted time. It's the best answer to a cold heart. It's the sight of the work of Christ that creates this godly fear. And what a blessing godly fear is. Now, I realize talking a strange language to most people, because we live in a day when there's been such a mangling of Scripture, such an absolute overturning of Scripture, that people think that if they are really spiritual and they get close to God and all the rest of it, that fear is gone. Let me tell you, the fear of the Lord is a great blessing. Isaiah 33 verse 6 says, the fear of the Lord is His treasure. It's His treasure. It's a precious thing in itself. It's something for every Christian to treasure. It is a precious thing to have such a sight of your God and His work that you actually fear God. Some commentators take the meaning of the word treasure in Isaiah 33:6 to mean treasure house. The fear of the Lord is His treasure house. And that opens up a wonderful field for thought and investigation. The fear of the Lord holds a great bounty for us. It holds a great and rich spiritual experience for us. It holds a great variety of God's blessings for us. It is His treasure house. When you enter into the fear of the Lord, it's like walking into a treasure house. On every hand, there is a blessing. On every hand, there is something to enrich you. On every hand, there is something to feed you, to satisfy you, to fill you, and to do you good. Let me give you some of the treasures. As you stand at the cross and you're gripped by the awe of God's work on your behalf, that fear will cause you to worship. The word fear in Scripture is at times used as an equivalent of worship. In fact, you can go even further and say that the word fear is used sometimes in Scripture as a proper name of God. When Jacob speaks about the God of Abraham and the fear of his father Isaac, he's using fear practically as a proper name for God. That's why it's a treasure. That's why it's a treasure house. Because all that we have and are found in Him. So it will cause us to worship our God. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Obviously there, fear is put for the entirety of worship. When you see the cross, when you take time to consider the great transaction of Calvary, how God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That the Son of God loved us and gave Himself for us. That He reconciled us to God by the blood of His cross. That He justified us by that blood. Sanctified us unto God by that blood. Sealed us forever for heaven by that blood. When you see that, you're struck with awe at the grace of God. Just after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, were delivered from the threat of Pharaoh's armies, Moses led the people in the singing of his great song. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 11, that song reaches a glorious climax. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Notice the conjunction of fear and praising, reverence and worship, fearful in praises. I want to tell you, when God has brought you out of Egypt, when God has brought you over the Red Sea, when God has delivered you out of the wilderness, He's brought you through the Jordan on the merits of Christ, He has planted you in the Canaan land of His provision and His salvation. I want to tell you, you will be struck with awe, and that awe will burst out of you in praise and cries of adoration. We read of this in Revelation 5 and verse 12. Where the glorified cry with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. The fear of God is not a servile dread. The fear of God strikes the heart with a holy awe. That such a great God should love such a miserable sinner. That such a holy God should save such a reprobate rebel. That God should bankrupt heaven to enrich this poverty-stricken soul. The fear of God lets you stand in awe as you marvel at the majesty of His mercy. And you worship. You worship, and you say, He is worthy. But that fear will also cause you to serve. The fear of God has the idea of service to God. In Job 1 verse 9, Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Now you think of that sentence, or that question. Does Job fear God for nothing? Is he getting nothing out of it? The idea is obviously, does Job serve God for nothing? Is he serving you freely? Psalm 2 verse 11 says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Again, you see, what we find is that the cross is the great motivator to service. How do you get the zeal to serve the Lord? I'm not going to take time proving to Christians that they ought to serve the Lord. There's not a man or woman who's saved who doesn't know in his heart the moment he's saved, I should serve the Lord. You know that. It's not the lack of knowledge that keeps Christians back from service. It's the lack of power. It's the lack of zeal. It's the lack of energy. It's the lack of interest. So how do you get the motivation constantly to serve the Lord? Well, here's how you get it. You stand at the cross. You understand Calvary. And as you understand Calvary, God will give you a fear, a holy awe that will motivate you to serve. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8. That famous passage where we're told, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to describe the humiliation of Christ, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Describes the downward humiliation of the Lord Jesus Christ until he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, how do you have the same mind of Christ? You have the same mind as Christ had. You serve as Christ did when you stand at the cross. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 3 tells you, run with patience the race that is set before you. How? Looking off unto Jesus. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be faint and weary in your mind. If you want an answer how not to lose mental strength and heart strength and energy to serve the Lord, if you want to keep the keen edge to the sword of Christian service, here's how you do it. Consider Christ. And I want to tell you, every time we lose out with God, every time we lose the zeal to serve Him, every time service becomes a chore and a bondage, it is always because we have lost sight of Christ. Always. You can't be turning your mind on Christ. You can't be thinking about Christ without having a desire to serve Him. Because when you see Him, it causes a holy awe to serve Him with all your heart. For, says Paul, the love of Christ, His love for us, constraineth us. It is an inward compulsion to us. When we see the love of Christ, it compels us to serve Him. We can do naught else. This fear is a treasure house of blessing, for it not only causes you to worship and to serve, but it causes you to desire to know the Lord more and more and more. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. 9:10, it's the beginning of wisdom. The word beginning does not merely mean the first element, but as John Calvin is very strongly pointing out in his sermon on that section of Proverbs, it is the very chief substance of wisdom. What is the substance of wisdom? The knowledge of God. Don't think you know anything because you learn some academic subject, because you can get a PhD before you're 21, because you can learn this, that, or the other about electronics or astronomy or biology or some other field of study. You can learn all those things and be the greatest fool on earth. And I want to tell you, the man who thinks he knows it all but doesn't know Christ is the greatest fool on earth. To know Him is life eternal. To know anything else without Him is everlasting hell. Never forget that.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.